Welcome to the Pivot Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Jack Dizon. Today we have a special guest, Ariana Lemus. She is a philanthropist, entrepreneur, model, writer, actress. She's Miss Colorado 2023 and participated in Miss USA 2023. Welcome to the show, Ariana. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just had a day to myself today, which is always nice. Just kind of picking things up here around the house, and was really excited for this podcast. I haven't done an interview since I competed at Miss USA.
I'm sure it's nothing like Miss USA, but I will.
It actually is, and I think a lot of people have that misconception that a pageant interview has to be so formal, but it's actually a conversation, and that's what a lot of pageant judges. Or a lot of pageant coaches tell their clients or their mentees is to just go in there and be yourself, right? And that's what I'm here to do today is just kind of share a piece of myself. The only difference is that you're not judging me for a competition.
And, you know, that's a good way to kind of segue and why we're here. I think we over here at the Pivot Podcast talk about pivots, and your intro talked about so many different aspects that I really want to go over. And, you know, it's really refreshing to see someone that can do all that while still keep a sane life and, you know, keep busy and all that.
Oh, it seems that way, right?
Oh, okay. We all try, right? I want to not only dispel misconceptions of, you know, pageantry and, you know, competition, but I also wanted to focus in on the other aspects. You have, if I'm wrong and how I pronounce this, I apologize, but it's Mirala?
No, it's actually called Mirala.
Mirala.
Yes.
And then I've done some homework. It means to look at her. Is that correct?
That's the translation. This is the English translation from Spanish.
Mm-hmm. And that's a female-based production company, correct?
Yeah, I would say more women-focused, right? Okay. Trying to be like more in the like the pro of just pronouns and just making sure everyone feels inclusive. So when I first came out with it earlier this year, I was kind of using the terminology of like female focus.
Yeah.
But people identify themselves to be female, right? So I think I'm changing it now to women focused production company. Just trying to be more inclusive to everybody and the production company wanting to work with predominantly women writers, women directors, and producers.
You know, I find that fascinating too, because, you know, where we're at here in society, sometimes we get kind of caught up with societal norms and societal mores, and any way you can kind of break that down, right, and actually strive to create create a new avenue or pathway for others is just something that I always find fascinating. So we'll dive deep a little bit about that. I was reading up on you a little bit, so it shows I do a little homework.
Yeah, but I actually have a few articles about me, which is pretty cool.
You know, kind of though, before I kind of dive deep into like, you know, your competitions and stuff, sometimes we pivot from a different, like, let's say, occupation or a lifestyle. You know, growing up, did you have any aspirations or thoughts of, you know, being a model, actress, or even, you know, being in pageants or anything like that?
So growing up, I always wanted to be an actress. I would come home from school and put on my Disney Channel and my Nickelodeon, and I would see like Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato and Miley Cyrus, and I would just be in awe of them. And there is a part of me that still feels like I will be in a room with all these incredible women, because that's just like the belief in myself. But yeah, I always saw myself being an entertainer, a performer, but I just didn't know how I would do it because I came from a divorced household. I was living with my mom and my immigrant grandparents. So it was just this really weird dichotomy that I was like living in, because I was going to a private school and surrounded by pretty affluent families. Not every family was, or every student, but predominantly. And then I was living with my immigrant grandparents. So there was a lot of shame in my childhood of kind of feeling like I wasn't a part of a certain class, of a working, you know, working class. But now as an adult, like I look back and I'm so thankful and grateful for living with my immigrant grandparents and just like Like the house that they have today is like the house that I grew up in, and I have so much appreciation for our culture and like all the sacrifices that they made to come to this country and to allow me to pursue all the amazing things that I get to do today. So yeah, when I would come home from school, I always definitely saw myself wanting to be an actress, but it felt like I couldn't do it, and just like the environment that I was that I was in. But as I graduated high school and started becoming an adult, I started to pursue it on my own. And even though my parents were scared for me and they instilled a lot of fear of like, it's such a hard industry, like you should just go to school, I was like, I need to just try this for myself. And then one thing led to another. So that's why we're here today.
No, that's really interesting. And I think sometimes we do have that aspect of, for me, I always, before I went to law school, I did have that kind of when you feel like you're an outcast and you're still trying to figure yourself out, right? Did you live in Nevada or was it, where did you live
So
predominantly?
during the pandemic, I was living in Nevada.
Okay. And so originally, are you from California or?
Originally from California, yes.
Okay, there you go. That, and so sometimes when you have a dream or a belief, I always talk about manifesting or you say it into existence. But you do have, people that talk about reality. How was it though for you? Like, did your mom or your, grandparents tell you to strive for a different kind of field or occupation? Did they, for me, it was always the medical field or a class you'd like to take. Did you get any of that growing up?
I think a little bit. So my grandparents, my grandma raised nine children, was a stay-at-home mom, and then went on to be a stay-at-home grandma. So she's just, her work has just been her family and providing the meals and cleaning up and just being of service to her children and her grandchildren. My grandfather was a janitor, and he worked very hard, would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he did that for his entire career when he came over to the States. And I commend him a lot because he was able to pay off two homes here at the San Fernando Valley with no credit. And I just think he is so amazing for that. And he's just somebody that I look up to. And he's almost 80 years old. And I just feel like when I look at his life and what he's accomplished, of the sacrifice and just wanting to give not only himself and his children, but his future generations more opportunities. Like, I just know that my greatest achievement is yet to come. And although I wanted to pursue something that was so far-fetched and so much bigger, when I look at my grandparents and what they've built, they are artists themselves. They actually have a little senior band
Oh,
and
really?
get together and they sing and they're artists. My grandpa plays the guitar. My grandma has a beautiful voice. So I know that if they weren't dealt the cards that they were dealt with, they would be pursuing their dream, of being artists themselves. So just kind of seeing them struggle, but also have such passion for music, it really taught me at a young age that, like, if I'm passionate about something, I can make that my reality. And that was like a subconscious thing. And that's why I always felt like there was such a calling for me to pursue the entertainment industry in front of the camera. And then as the years went on, like almost 10 years, it wasn't until last year that I realized that I actually want to be behind the camera and that I can do both. And now I have such a love for being in front and behind the camera. But there is that reality check,
Yeah.
especially my mom is not very artistic herself, so it kind of skipped a generation. She and my father were very just wanting me and my brother and my sister to go to school, get the degree, get the job, just kind of like how we've all been taught. Like, I feel like from like millennials to Gen Z, like we're just constantly instilled, like, this is what you have to do. And I really challenge that. I think just being like the eldest, I'm constantly always challenging authority, whether I like it or not. It's just kind of instilled. But in a weird way, everything happens for a reason. I definitely believe in that. And I know that my journey is very non-traditional. Actually, during the pandemic, when the industry was completely shut down, I decided to go back to school to study health. So that's kind of where we're here today.
No, yeah, and I saw that you're an advocate of mental health. I think that's really important. I think nowadays, especially because of the pandemic, it was so difficult. It's not only sometimes traumatizing, but there's a lot of signs of depression, things of that nature. So I think especially nowadays, it's so important. But to kind of go back to what you were talking about, it's when you have immigrant grandparents or parents, you see kind of the hard work and the dedication that goes on just to put food on the table, pay for your home. And, somehow, some way, I always say, you don't think about it then and there, but then when you're actually starting to do, let's say, or starting to be part of your career or start your career, you start noticing like those qualities that are, instilled in you that you never thought about. So that's something that I always, always thought about and I always saw. So that's great. So this is where, you wanted to be an actress, when you started off, kind of had a little bit of, resistance, right? But so tell me kind of how did the thought process of maybe either moving forward with that, not only, or, and then also starting to kind of, model or, start with just going to pageants, how did that all kind of come about?
So at the time, I was attending a community college, just trying to get my associates. And for anyone listening who is in college and maybe wanting to pursue the entertainment industry, I wish that I could go back and just finish my associates because life has a funny way of pulling you in different avenues. And as much as it's so an honorable an action to do to pursue the industry, I think it's always good to have a plan B. And I feel like if I would have finished my associates, I would be far already, already done with receiving my bachelor's and having two careers. And I think that's something we don't talk about a lot in the entertainment industry, especially in 2023, about to be 2024. Like, that's why we're going through the contract negotiations that we're going through. It's like you can't just be an actor and live off your residuals anymore. That's just non-sustainable. So I think the conversation about having like a dual career or having two careers is the way to go now. And I think for so long, people have been told like you can only do one or focus on one thing. And being a woman who has ADHD, I can't just do one thing. I have to do multiple things,
It's a blessing and a curse at the same
It
time.
is a blessing and a curse, absolutely. But what I can say, like for my journey, is school and getting your degree and having a plan B, especially if you want to be an artist, like there's nothing wrong with that. So I feel like I should have listened to my parents when they said like to just finish my associate's degree while I was pursuing the industry. But I just went full throttle. I was like, working on music video sets. I was working on commercials. I was trying to get signed by agents. I was taking acting classes. I was hustling. I was like a BA, like a brand ambassador for like random jobs, babysitting, just doing all the things, the hustle to make my dream, which was to be a working actress, sustainable. But then when the pandemic happened, it really allowed me to reflect, like, what do I have to show for myself? I graduated high school in 2014, it's 2020. All my friends are graduated. Maybe they're not, per se working because it's a pandemic, but like they have their degree, like they're probably working from home, and that's just not an option for me. So it really allowed me to look at my life and to say, like, I have passion in this industry. I have a want and a need to be in this industry, but what is my purpose outside of this industry? And that's when it allowed me to go inward and to realize that, like, this is what I love to do. I love to connect one-on-one and I love to advise people and listen to people. So I wanted to pick a career that was so separate from the industry, but in the same kind of way, similar, because psychology, breaking down characters, writing screenplays, like it all has to do with humans connecting. So in a way, wanting to be a mental health advocate counselor and also wanting to be a filmmaker is so separate and different, but very similar in a lot of ways.
And that's a good way to like talk about pivoting, right? So the thought of just, being an actor and actress is not only reading lines and, pointing at a camera and smiling and all that, right? There's the inward inflection of who is this character, comparing themselves to who they're interacting with. So it goes more, and that's the artistry of it, right? And I think a lot of people, there's a misconception that, you look great, you can, speak well, and then all of a sudden you're an actor or an actress, right? But there's more to it. So, that's actually a really good point that you're talking about, education, right? Because a lot of people will look sometimes at this and say, well, what is she talking about, right? She's Miss Colorado and she, has competed in, these pageants and, she has a lot going for her. So why would she even go and do education, right? So that's important because at the end of the day, contest started. Like, everyone kind of has a story about modeling and being an actress and it's being discovered, foundation you saw from someone else, or how did that start?
So I never grew up watching Miss America or
Yeah.
Miss USA or any Miss Universe pageants of that nature. I always kind of, like everybody else, had the stereotypical mindset of, like, pageant girls are stuck up and, they just are egotistical and just, like, didn't really care for it. I was a girly girl and I was a cheerleader and, wanted to be an actress, and just being in the industry, I was, posting my headshots and just posting various modeling photos, and it goes hand in hand, with pageantry, being like a beautiful woman and really using your beauty to captivate an audience and really using your voice and your platform to let people know what you're passionate about and how you can make a difference. So that's really what pageantry has given me as a young woman. It's allowed me to have a brand and a voice and to inspire people in the process. So I had my pageant coach reach out to me through Facebook. And at
Okay.
the time, she had a pageant production company and was putting on various local pageants in California. And I won my first pageant that I entered. It was just on one of those, like, first time, first try, first win kind of thing.
Was it kind of surreal? Like winning, it's your first time and you win and
I didn't even know, like, what it meant because I didn't do my homework even in the process of competing. I was just like, I'm just gonna do it for fun. Like, I'm just gonna do it because if I get a role as, like, a pageant girl, like, I want to know
yeah.
kind of, like, what to expect. Like, just Miss Congeniality, just thinking, like,
Yeah.
there's gonna be, like, a Miss Congeniality movie coming out anytime soon. And I just wore my prom dress. I, like, grabbed a bikini from the drawer, like, just didn't think anything of it. And something that I took away from that experience was a best friend. I made a friend there. It was her first pageant as well. And 5, 6 years later, I'm her bridesmaids.
Oh,
And
wow.
that's kind of something that in the pageant community we talk about. Like, maybe you do a pageant one time and you never do it again, but you can meet your future bridesmaids. You meet amazing women in this industry. And although there's a lot of downsides and a lot of negative things that can happen being in a very competitive
Yeah.
arena, there's a lot of positive, and I just try to focus more so on what pageantry has given me versus, like, what it's taken away from me, which is the finances, of course. But yeah, like, I started in California, went to Nevada, competed in Nevada, and then I had met an ex-boyfriend. He was from Colorado, went to Colorado, and I found myself there, and it didn't end up working out in that relationship, but it ended up working out for me because I, live in Colorado and I won Miss Colorado.
Yeah.
So there's so many people that come into our lives that are part of our journey. And I really feel like if I never met him, I would have never became Miss Colorado and went on to compete at Miss USA. So even though my whole process of starting this pageant journey was to be Miss California, like, our lives take us in different ways that we never thought But it ended up, the goal was always Miss USA. So
Okay.
my journey was just different, you know?
There are so many little tiny moments or aspects of your life where, looking back at it, if that didn't happen, this wouldn't happen, right?
Yeah.
You had the goal though, and you hit the goal. Maybe an outside perspective, so I don't really know too much about it. This is a competitive, environment, and it's also you need to train for it too, right? I mean, it's not as easy as someone. You're answering questions that are, not really open-ended. There's sometimes they elicit a response to see how you think, also to kind of see your demeanor. You're also on stage and you're kind of like a somewhat of a like a model. You're walking through and you're showing everyone, what you can do. So it's not to me, it seems I kind of look at it from a like a sport, right? Because you see.
Oh, thank you for saying that because I'm trying to find a way to get pageantry to be listed as a like a sport because, you know, just recently these college athletes are now getting paid salaries. And here we are, us pageant girls who have been doing this for years and ourselves and our parents are investing so much, and what do we get back in return? It's very little, you know, even as a state title holder, there's really no financial or monetary gain. Different systems has different prizes. But I would say, like within my organization as a state title holder, we just get a lot of sponsorships, which I'm super grateful for. You know, these sponsors have helped me prepare for the national competition, but as a whole, like it's more so you're putting more in than you're getting back, you know. And even just recently competing at Miss USA, again, we had amazing sponsors and all these incredible experiences with the other state title holders. As I kind of close this chapter of my life come next year when I give up my title, I have to, you know, walk away from this experience knowing that this organization has molded me into the woman that I am, and that in a lot of life case scenarios, you are going to have to give more of yourself than you get back. And just kind of being okay with that, because being a state title holder, it's not all about the money and it's not all about the photo shoots and the glam, because you are in your community and you're advocating for organizations that are in rural parts of, you know, your city. But I think there should be a little bit of both. You know, I think that for a long time, people have looked down on pageantry girls or pageant girls, but I feel like as a whole, as a collective, we understand that we have to give more than we get back. But in the long-term process, when we are in our careers, just in my class alone, there was a police officer, we had a dentist, I was a filmmaker, there was a hotel owner. She's Miss Hawaii's opening up a boutique hotel in Bali. So it's like incredible entrepreneurial women that are in my class. But what we've gained from this pageant experience is something that we're going to take with us for the rest of our lives.
And I agree with you. I think it's you should be the advocate, help advocate for that because it is from an outsider looking in, right? It's the thought of I'm sure you have a training schedule. I'm sure you have coaches that you have to help you out on what to wear, what to write, I mean what to say or how to say it, right? And the other aspect of it is these pageants, and I'm this is me coming from an outside perspective. Is it an objective criteria on point system, or is it sometimes subjective?
I have to say that it is subjective because on a different day with a different panel of judges, the outcome would be different every single time. I did an exercise leading up to my Miss USA competition. I'm a part of Future Productions, which is my director. She has Miss Colorado, Miss Iowa, Wyoming, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. And we had a pageant power week. And one of the exercises that we did was they gave us various different chocolate bars. And they said to rank it from 1 through 5. And when we did that, everybody had different variations of these chocolate bars. So the example was like when we go to Miss USA, these judges, it's subjective. Like they like what you're wearing, they like what you're saying. You remind them of a sister, you remind them of their teacher. Like you just can't help what you like. And kind of like with these chocolate bars, you like what you like. You know, when I was at Miss USA, I didn't place at all. So that was a big ego death for me, right? Because I had been competing in this system for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
And to get there and to put my all, my everything, like you said, the coaching, the dieting, the working out, the mental workout, the repetitive questions, like this is me and 50 other girls. And we have invested so much to be here. And when there's only 20 of us that are the semifinalists, there is a hurt that you feel when you go backstage and you realize like it's over, it's done. But you know, it's been about 3 weeks now since I've left the competition, and it's been a very hard mental process. But at the end of the day, I know that this rejection is just redirection. I have to just remind myself that I didn't place, I didn't win Miss USA for a reason. And it's because God and the universe has another plan for me. So right now, as I say that to you, I'm trying to believe that myself, but I know that it's true deep down. But oh man, like your mind can just really tell you that you are not worthy and that you suck or you just are not good enough, but you have to fight those negative thoughts every day.
And that's the thing that as we talk about more about just your career and where you're going and what you've done, right? It's important, right? Because you talked about it, dieting, training, answering the right questions, and it all leads to, and you just defined it, right? A subjective, I guess, perception that judges have, right? So it's not an objective criteria, and you're right. One day on that night, they could look at one person and have a different belief. So you're advocating for mental health, right? And that's, important. And as we see today, like, do you meditate? Do you, read, or how do you kind of redirect yourself in a position to get to, striving for new goals and knowing that, this is just another area that you conquered, and you're just going to conquer another one.
I think it's so profound that I'm doing this podcast that's called the Pivot Podcast, because that's exactly what I'm doing right now in my life. I'm trying to pivot. I'm trying to keep a positive mindset. And to be frank with you, I feel like I still have that dark cloud over my head. And I've been very much keeping to myself and just trying to deal with my own emotions. And it has nothing to do with my loved ones not having the right words for me or not supporting me in the way that I need to. I just am going through my own thing mentally. And leading up to the competition, I was very much in my flow of meditation and gratitude and eating healthy. And after the competition, I just reverted, you know, and I've just been eating whatever the hell I want. But to be honest, like I'm trying to get back into my flow of manifesting and praying, but you know, it's one of those experiences where I kept telling myself, I am, I am, I am. And when the day comes that I'm not, I'm dealing with like my spirituality and my manifestation. Like, I don't understand. Like, if I was so in the flow, if I was being what I was trying to be and it didn't happen for me, I'm dealing with that part of it. So I understand that, again, God and the universe has a plan for me, but being in it, being in the funk of it, it's so hard to shake. And I know that I have to see a therapist. I know that I'm going through a transitional period in my life. So talking to someone who is so far from removed and has no biased opinion
That's
is
the
really,
big thing. That's
yeah, it's gonna.
the no judgment, the ability just to listen. And I think that is a thing that a lot of people nowadays, it's kind of rare, right? To have just someone just listen to you, right? Without the response of either trying to cheer someone up or the response of giving someone's opinion or, just saying something. It's really rare, right? Because I think a lot of nowadays people do not like silence. People think everyone's judging them. It's so I agree with you. And I, for me, and this is nothing near kind of what you've been through, but it took me two times to pass the bar. And when I didn't pass the bar the first time, it's one of those things where I was kind of in the same state as you. You go to law school, you do really well, and you're like, okay, this is because there's a goal, and you're like, when you get to that goal, I guess you've been conquering mini goals, and it's all going up like a, like I call it like an escalator. You're going up, right? And then you see the destination, and you're like, okay, because I've been going up and training, eating right, doing the right thing, this is where I should be. This is where I like pretty much go up and be dropped off, and this is how it happens. So when it doesn't happen, it's this. You start kind of looking at all the steps that you've done, and how didn't I get to where I'm at based on that? So, I at the end, you are right, right? You have to, everyone deals with it themselves. And it's funny you talk about suits. Looking at different characters though, it shows a little bit of you. You watch it. And I think that's how you probably are going to get back to the groove because,
It's just a part of who I am. It's not who I am. It's just
yeah.
how my brain functions, and I just have to get back into eating a healthier lifestyle. Like, I know the things that I have to do, but I'm not ready to do them yet. And
It's
I'd love
okay.
to kind of be out of this funk that I'm in. But, again, like, it was 7 years that I put my heart and my soul into this and this dream that I had, and it didn't happen. So I'm kind of dealing with the repercussions and just trying to figure out a way to pivot and to learn from this experience. And something that I have been sharing with the few people that I've have spoken to is, like, more people relate to you failing and talking about your failures than winning. So that's really comforting to me, because as I continue to be, an entrepreneur and a philanthropist and, empowering women in the industry, like, this is something that I'm always going to talk about, and that I'm going to inspire people to not give up. Because, I say this today and I'm going to say this 5, 10 years from now: I didn't win Miss USA, but I did not let that stop me from winning this and winning this and winning this. So it's, again, focusing on the journey rather the destination and the outcome.
No, that's perfect. We're talking about pivoting and we're talking about journeys. I did see on your IMDb you do have some credits there, right? But go through, you talked about. Your the first love was really, TV and film, right? And then now it's kind of maybe going behind the lens a little bit, right? But you know how we talked about you preparing for, Miss Colorado pageant or the Miss USA pageant. Go. So now tell me how you prepare for a role, right? Like a movie role, a TV role. What, if I was just kind of a fly on the wall, how do you prepare for
So I really struggle with memorization. So I
that?
have to write everything down. And whether it's for a role or I need to go to an appointment, like, I just have to write it down. So for me, when I initially get an audition, I print out the sides immediately and I try to read it and have no opinions or any choices already made. Just read it like you're reading a book. So that would be the first thing. And then I start highlighting and kind of noting some choices. There's a technique, I forget which teacher I learned it from. I've taken various classes,
Okay.
but circling my lines so I can really see what my lines are aside from the other characters in the scene, is really helpful. Or just like highlighting like my lines so I can really like understand and where to look.
Yeah.
Something I really I've enjoyed is not being so much memorized, like
Okay.
being off book, but still holding my sides for reference. I think there's something a little bit more natural when you can
Yeah.
kind of not be so memorized,
Yeah.
but also be memorized enough to be present. And I think as an actress, that is, as actors, like that's the biggest struggle. Like we get so off book that we're so not in the moment because we're like, I know the line so good and this is the line. So
Yes.
just really practicing that mindfulness and being present. So something too, like before recording, is to just kind of meditate and see
Okay.
yourself saying the lines and choosing the actions. Because just like anything, whether it's an audition or a job interview or a speech, like you have to really visualize
Yeah.
yourself doing it before you're actually doing it.
I agree. Now you get that kind of confidence too, right? If you kind of see yourself in the moment, your mannerisms and how your inflection, your tonality, right? I think when you kind of see yourself, it gives you the opportunity to either, follow that, or you could kind of go a different way. I wanted to ask you this. You're talking about how, when you were competing, there were little aspects of both, competing in a pageant or, working as a model and actress. There's qualities that are, that work together, right? Do you find that because you competed for 7 years, and you had to respond to questions and, look a certain way in preparation or training or stand a certain way, do you think that's going to help you kind of further along when you have that movie role where you're really, just in the nitty-gritty? Do you find that it's gonna kind of
I
help?
think it would help in terms of the interview aspect, like on the
Yeah.
red carpet or being interviewed by a certain host.
Okay.
I think, or being on a panel. I think
Yeah.
pageantry really prepares you for life and
Okay.
whether you want to be in the entertainment industry or you want to, any industry that you, as a young woman, that you enter yourself in. And if you have a pageant background, you just, as a collective, we just have this experience that has taught us to be strong,
Yeah.
independent women. And maybe not every day you don't feel the most confident, but you know being your most confident will allow you and other people to see you as somebody who can be of a certain leader.
Yeah.
Right? There's different leaders in different industries. So something that I will always take away from my pageant experience is that it's really allowed me again to find my voice and to be confident in who I am. And again, I'm not confident every day in who I am, especially with social media. I have found being a title holder, it's been very hard for me because I'm constantly posting more often than I would if I wasn't a
Yeah.
title holder. But with the posting, I'm constantly sharing a positive version of myself, right? The highlight reel,
Yeah.
more so than I was. So on the days where I don't feel as confident, I'm posting something really confident. It's like this imposter syndrome,
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I really want to continue to share, that the things that I share online is maybe not how exactly how I'm feeling when I'm posting it, right? Because being a
Yeah.
content creator, being an influencer, you have scheduled posts
Yeah.
and you're not posting exactly what you're wearing that day, right? It's all like pre-planned. So again, like just putting emphasis on the things that we see online is not reality, right? Like social media, the internet is a different version of everybody's reality. And just understanding that when you get really consumed with mindless scrolling, that reminding that's not how everybody looks today.
Yep.
That's not what everybody's feeling today. I'm human. It's okay to feel how I'm feeling, and just giving yourself that grace. And that's what I've been trying to give myself, is just not being so hard on myself. And I think as everyone listening today, like, just try not to be so hard on yourself. Like, you're doing the best that you can.
You know, that's so great that you say that, because it's so hard, right? You know, a lot of the social media sometimes is because I'm competitive, right? I try to be competitive. It's just in my nature. I'm a middle child. I don't know what happened. But it's when you see exactly when you see, you know, let's say I'm not an influencer, but let's say you influence people and you see others and you see how they're dressed up that day or what they're doing that day. It kind of sparks a little, not only competitiveness, but like a little depression. You're like, I should be doing something, or I should be going here, or I should be working on a movie, or I should be working on a script. And it's so hard to detach yourself sometimes, because part of it is, you know, sometimes that's what motivates you. But on the other hand, it's like sometimes what you know doesn't motivate you. So it's so good that you talk about that, and it's so good that you're, you know, advocating, you know, the just being mindful, right? And knowing, you know, what your surroundings are, and or knowing why you post to, or why you won't follow something. So, you know, there's a lot of creative juices like that looks like that you've gone through or you still have. Are there projects that you're looking, you know, forward to, that you're thinking of, that you're ready to tackle, you know, soon, I guess soon?
Yeah, so I actually started a film festival dedicated to showcasing films by women of color specifically. So I'm getting ready for that film festival in March, and
Okay.
that'll actually be held in Santa Monica. So you're more than welcome to come.
Okay.
So the film festival this year will be 2 days. And we're going to have different categories. We're going to have a narrative category, shorts, a narrative feature. We're going to have a category specifically for queer and
Yeah.
queer storytelling. We're also going to have a student section, and we'll have a feature. So I'm really excited because I have a mentor that I met in Colorado Springs,
Okay.
who is in the film festival circuit in Colorado. And I told him that I had partnerships here in Los Angeles. So he was able to be my festival director. So I'm kind of learning from him. And I think that's the beauty, again, that pageantry has taught me, that whatever you plan to do, like, find a mentor, find a coach
Yeah.
that is willing to invest in you and in your vision, because sometimes doing it alone is really hard for no reason. So just having the confidence to say, hey, like, I see what you do. I would love to learn from you. If you can help me, this is the plans that I have. And that was basically how I pitched myself. And
Oh,
he
wow.
was willing to help me. So basically, I'm getting ready for that film festival in March. And actually, tomorrow, I'm going to be doing a voiceover recording for a short that I was the lead actress in.
Okay.
First short that I've ever been a lead in. So it's pretty profound in my career and my resume. And I'm really excited because this short film, we're going to be doing a voiceover in English and in Spanish.
Okay.
And although I don't like to say I'm bilingual, I'm a Spanish conversational speaker.
Okay.
I'm able to market myself in that way and to kind of hold myself accountable for speaking more Spanish. And now that I'm doing this, it's going to open so many other doors for me that I never thought would be there. And trying to finish another project that I started. Again, having ADHD, I
Yeah,
start things and I don't finish them. And this project that I'm working on is near and dear to my heart because it's about my mom and her nine, well, for her as a sibling, there are nine of them, but
wow.
she's the oldest of eight. And just kind of talking about their experience and the culture shock that they experienced when they came over to the States. And just what a lot of Latino families have to go through, you know, in
Yeah,
low
definitely.
income neighborhoods. So that's kind of a project that I'm working on. But as of right now, I'm really excited for the film festival.
So, you talk about the projects and the ADHD, and I mean, I understand. So for you, but how does that all kind of, it seems like it's very snappy. Is it for you, is it a when you think about the things that you want to do, or you think a little bit about the future, is it something you just write down, or is it like you have a quick thought and you put it on, your notes, or is it a very, I guess it manifests from a little thought and you just get deep more detailed as you go?
It really is just a burst of inspiration. I'll get an idea and I'll tunnel vision and I'll be really like committed and consistent for like a couple days, maybe a week. Wow. And then I just fall off the wagon because I just don't really do well with routine. And that's why I think it's no surprise that I've never really stayed with a 9-to-5 job, or I never had a very stable kind of work experience. I'm constantly always doing things. I have a lot of part-time jobs, like I said. One of the jobs that I work now that I've been working since 2018 is being a product specialist for Chevrolet. So this year I auditioned to be a presenter. So a couple weeks ago I was in my or a couple months ago I was in Miami and I was presenting on the new 2024 Corvette E-Ray. So it's like I have all these, weird jobs, but hey, it pays the bills. And I know that as I turn 27 next month, I really have to find more stability because as I've gotten older, I've realized so much of my insecurity and so much of my lack of feeling like I don't have my shit together is because I don't have that stability when it comes to work. So that's why it's so important for me to finish my degree and somehow have like a stable job, but continue to pursue my passions and to be an inspiration to other people. So, I am an adult learner, and if anyone that is listening to the podcast today can relate to me in some capacity, like just don't limit yourself, like you can work and you can go to school and you can be a writer and you can be an actor. Like you only have one life, like don't let your family, don't let your partner, don't let anybody tell you that you can't do something. Because if you know that you can, maybe you're not consistent, but you know that you can. That's really all that matters.
And you're trying, right? And you're putting yourself out there. You're that quote about man in the arena. Obviously it's person in the arena, but you're trying. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people forget, right? It's they see you and they see, she does this, she's a presenter, she's a model, she's an actress, she's Miss Colorado. I can't do that. And through just this conversation, I was able to understand like how you were able to, first started, thinking about being an actress, and then how that changed to, being in pageants, and now it's like behind the lens, like starting your own film festival in a sense. So, this is kind of where we're almost wrapping up, but I have a couple of questions left, right? You talked about how there was a good and bad about, being in a competitive, just, in those pageants, right? There's a sense of confidence that you have when you talk, right? And from a lot of people, let's say, who don't know you, right? They're like, this lady's had confidence, right? She's been on the biggest stages and has competed. Was there a time where you noticed that your confidence about like just presenting, speaking, did that just kind of hit you suddenly? Or when did you first notice that you're like, wow, this is something that I'm harnessing, I'm developing, or
Question is really tricky because people see what they see, they don't know what I feel, right? Because even as I'm speaking to you today, you're having, your own thoughts about me. But as I'm talking, I'm constantly judging everything that I'm saying. But that's what we do as humans. No
definitely
people
true.
can relate to that. Like I can't really tell you there was a specific time because I've really always been this way. I've always been a people person, a little bit of a people pleaser. So it's I just really enjoy making people feel good. I enjoy storytelling. I sometimes tend to like over talk or kind of detour the conversation because I just got a thought and I'm like, oh, let me talk about this. So it's just like, this is just how I have been, and having a coach and having people in my life, my mentors, to kind of fine tune how I present myself, has been a great asset to me. And I think it's just surrounding yourself with people who believe in you. And also just I battle with self-confidence and self-esteem because I lack self-acceptance. And I think when we have the conversation around confidence, it's like, love yourself. Like, okay, I can love myself every day, but you have to accept yourself. You have to accept your mistakes. You have to accept your shame. You have to accept your guilt. And that's not easy. And that is something that I struggle with personally. I struggle accepting my past mistakes. I struggle accepting who I was 10 years ago and all the things that I said and did as a younger person. And that's why I started a teen mentorship program 4 or 5 years ago, because working with younger people and stepping into the mental health industry, I want to be that big sister. I want to be that adult that cares to give advice to younger people that, like, hey, you're going to make and say and do the decisions that you want to make, but here's some skills and here's some things that I do as an adult now that have really changed my life profoundly. And maybe as young people, they don't understand what gratitude means. Maybe they don't understand what self-reflection means or why it's so important to write down your goals and your dreams, but I'm planting the seed. And I really feel like just sharing my life experiences with younger people really teaches them that I'm a person just like you. I'm just a few years older. You know, there's something about age that is so weird because one of my best friends is like 57, right? I'm 27. And it's just like I think we put so much emphasis on age, but your age has nothing to do with your experience, right? So I just really feel like we need to take people and not be so judgy about like their titles or their experiences or what they've accomplished, because none of that matters at the end of the day. What really matters is your character, your energy, your essence, and no title, no job, no certain person you're dating or whatever matters at the end of the day. Like, it's what you bring to the table. Like, what I brought to this interview is who I am. I didn't pre-plan anything I was going to say. Like, I'm literally saying because I'm saying it from my heart.
And I think that's really important. I think that goes to, I think a lot of people forget, like, your occupation, the car you drive, all those things, don't matter later on in life, right? It's, at the end, I always think you get remembered by who you are, right? One, and who you become to society. And that means, if you have a best friend, right, that says, I remember, just she was a great person, she's this, she's that, right? And that's all you could kind of take with you, essentially, right? There's nothing else that you can take but other than what you believe in yourself and what other people believe. So my last question, if you were able to talk to someone who either wanted to start just competing in pageants or being, just being a model or being an actress or going behind the camera or just starting school again or starting a new, a new degree or anything like that. If you had three things that you had to tell them to either help them if they were stuck in a schneid or something like that, what would you say?
I would probably say give yourself 10 years. Maybe your goal happens in the first year. Maybe it happens in the first 3 years. But when you start something new, give yourself 10 years. Because I really feel like, especially in today's society, we constantly want that instant gratification. We want to start something. We want to be masters at it. We want to get the success immediately because we invested money, we invested time, we invested whatever. But ultimately, like, it's going to happen for you when it's going to happen for you. Like, I will always talk about my pageant journey because that was just something that I experienced and something that I'm coming out of and a chapter that I'm closing. So it's like when I first started out, when I was 18 years old, I would tell myself, you know, I miss USA. I miss
Yeah.
USA. I'm, you know, Miss California. I miss Nevada. Miss Colorado. Like, you know, you have a goal in mind and you just repeat it and repeat it and refine it. And every year you just get a little bit better. You get a little bit better. And then it happens for you, right? And then maybe it happens not the way that you wanted. So have an idea, have a goal in mind. Try your best. Always try your best, but let it go.
Yeah.
Don't put so much oomph in, like, it has to go this way, or like, the way you visualize it, it didn't happen that way. Like, let life, you
Oh,
know?
yeah.
Don't give yourself so many restrictions and don't like try to pre-plan things. Like, just work hard, train, practice, memorize, rehearse, and show up to that interview, show up to that competition, you know, show up to that whatever, and just be in the moment.
You know, I want to thank you, Ariana. You've literally, in the matter of an hour, you're able to show who you are. And that's a true advocate of not only of others, but you know, just mental health. But in a matter of just this conversation that I was able to understand, you know, the process that you had to go through, the training, and also just the motivation, as well as the ability though to be human. I love to see how people, you know, not only like talk about pivoting, but they also talk about how their experiences have shaped them. And you have literally did that and showed me how it's not all what it seems. There's even more to it, right? Subjective judging on a competitive pageant can't show someone's true heart. And I think this, you know, just talking to you for an hour, I'm able to know that it's all, you know, part of a fundamentally a big plan for you to do big things in the future. So I can't wait to see what happens next.
Awesome. I love it. Well, thank you so much for having me on the Pivot Podcast again. Like, what an opportunity to be able to share my story, share a little bit about myself, and hopefully in the process inspire somebody or give them an idea to believe in themselves again. Even currently, you know, right now, I told you, like, not feeling 100% myself, but that doesn't mean that I can't share myself.